The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
When it's not always raining, there'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. Everything falls into place like the flick of a switch. Well, my mama told me there'll be days like this.
3:07 on the Central Coast as we welcome you to another edition of Hometown Radio. Finally, up and ready now on this Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. I'm Dave Congleton. Thanks for joining us. Craig and I are with you all the way till 7 o'clock. We got a lot to cover today. Later on this hour, producer Jave Silverman and actor Beau Bridges join us to talk about the new movie they made, shot largely out in Morro Bay, called Camera, featured in this year's International Film Festival. At 4:05, we put the spotlight on the National Association of Women-Owned Businesses, followed by a conversation with the one, the only, Mr. Tom Likas and former CNN journalist Paul Verkammen. They're part of a new book that's a salute to the late, great Vin Scully. We'll talk about that. And we keep going. That's all only the first half of the show. At 5:05, attorney Stu Jenkins explains what happened with the Supreme Court this week on the homeless court case involving Grants Pass, Oregon, and why we should be concerned about that. And then at 6:05, we'll talk about bipolar illness and living with that. That's a lot. We'll get through it. It's the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. First up, we put the community spotlight on the Central Coast Autism Spectrum Center. Big event coming up, but we need to meet the executive director, Carly Spears, making her first appearance on this broadcast. Carly, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Great. I'm happy to be here.
Thanks. You say that now. Let's see what you say at 3:30. Let's remind folks about the Central Coast Autism Spectrum Center. How do you explain it to people?
Yeah, so we were founded in 2007 as an organization for kids with autism to have a summer camp. And from there, we grew, and we have social programs for kids, teens, adults with autism. We have network groups for their parents, their siblings, and them to connect. And we still have our summer camp every year. And one of our big events coming up is our Walk for Autism to raise awareness and acceptance.
Do you have any personal connection to autism?
I have been a special ed teacher for 6 years, and I grew up, one of my best friends had autism, so it's near and dear to my heart.
How do you explain it to people? What is autism?
It's something that's really misunderstood. It's just a different ability people have, the way that they interact with the world and the way their brain works. It's just, it's different, and we have a lot to learn about it still.
Including the causes. We don't know the causes, do we?
No, there's not a for sure cause of autism. There's a lot of different theories out there, but no.
And obviously, degrees. Some people are more severe than others.
Yeah, there's lots of different, strengths and weaknesses to autism, and everyone's different, just like we're all different.
Is gender a factor? Does it affect girls more than boys, boys more than girls, or we don't know?
Well, more boys get diagnosed with it because it's harder to tell in females because they tend to mask it. It's what we call masking. They mask it better than boys do. They hide it.
Hmm. But we seem to be making progress in understanding it more. There is some,
yes,
some good news.
Yeah, there's a lot more diagnosis, assessments. People want more resources, and people are doing more to get that information.
So, what's your website, Carly?
Slowautism.org.
Can someone get autism for the first time as an adult?
Well, they've always had autism. It's just they get assessed for it or diagnosed. Okay. And we're actually seeing a lot more people wanting to get diagnosed to understand themselves better.
I think that's a key point. It's not so much that there's more autism out there. It's that it's been out there, but it's getting identified and diagnosed more.
Correct. You got it.
All right. So what would you say to people who are thinking, well, gee, this could be me, about what would they look for? What would be traits?
I think that if you're feeling like it's you, then you know, go ask questions, go to the doctor, go. There's lots of websites too that you can do self-tests, and just go ask questions and go make sure you feel comfortable with who you are first. And then if you want a diagnosis, go reach out.
Can it be diagnosed?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there are specific tests.
There are. Yeah. You can go to, you know, different places like a neurologist, a psychologist, a psychiatrist, and go get diagnosed.
All right. We're in conversation with Carly Spears from the Central Coast Autism Spectrum Center. Big event coming up on Sunday. It's your 16th annual Walk for Autism and Resources Fair. That's a lot.
Yes.
What do you have planned?
Well, it's a busy day, but from 12 to 4, we have about 40 different vendors out there, ranging from food trucks to different resources for people.
Where am I coming?
Mission Plaza.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's going to be a great time. And then at 2:30, our actual walk starts, and we walk around downtown SLO. And it's just to raise awareness and acceptance, you know, showing people there's people with autism in our community, and we want to support them.
So, is acceptance an issue?
Well, I think it's getting better as we get the years progress, but in general, I think we have so much more to learn about people with autism. Businesses do, schools do, just the community does, to make sure that they have a place in society too.
But are they discriminated against, like in terms of employment opportunities? Do we make stereotypes or judgment about people who are autistic? Oh, I don't want to hang out with them. I don't want to hire them.
Well, we do have some autistic adult support groups and network groups, and they talk about this. And I do think there's still an issue with acceptance, even in our area. They're nervous to disclose that they have autism because people might judge them or think about them a different way. So I do think we still have a lot to grow.
All right. So back on Sunday, people are gathering in Mission Plaza. What does it take to sign up for a walk? Can I sign up as an individual, or do I have to be part of a team?
You can sign up as an individual, or you can create a team. We have a lot of wonderful families and people starting teams and fundraising to help us out. So you can do either. But you can go onto our website and register, or come day of and you can register there.
Is there a registration fee?
$25.
$25 gets me in the walk.
Yep, and a shirt.
A shirt?
Yeah, you're in. And it all goes to a good cause. It helps our camp.
What's the walk? Is this a difficult walk?
There's two courses. There's a half a mile and then a mile walk.
All right. So the money that's raised, how will it be used?
It goes directly to our camp, our summer camp, and then also goes to our social programs. Like, we do speed dating events, we do game nights, we go out and we go to trivia night, we do hiking and rock climbing. We have lots of different programs.
When you say we, so who's the we?
Well, mostly me, and then there's a board of directors that runs behind me.
But not necessarily autistic people themselves.
No, they come. Yeah, that's okay. Our events. They're targeted for people with autism. Their siblings, their friends can come. We like to have neurodiverse and neurotypical people attend our events.
I don't know those terms. I'm sorry.
Neurodiverse is kind of the umbrella term for people with autism, ADHD, or other, you know, developmental disorders that occur. And then neurotypical is what we call normies, people that don't have autism or ADHD or other things like that.
Yeah. All right, let's take a short break. We'll come back and chat more with Carly Spears from the Central Coast Autism Spectrum Center. I'm Dave Congleton. We're live. We're local. We're hometown.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance need the cover of October sky.
So tomorrow we'll keep our coverage of the International Film Festival going. Haley Nenendahl checks in. Jerry Shea, remember Jerry? He moved up to Oregon in early February. He's going to check in tomorrow and talk about how life is in Oregon. Also, Jack Keller has deep concerns about the budget situation in Sacramento. Mr. Science on Friday. We are busy. It is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Actor Beau Bridges and producer Jay Silverman join us after news at the bottom of the hour. Meanwhile, we're back with Carly Spears. She's the executive director of the Central Coast Autism Spectrum Center. Carly, for folks just tuning in, let's remind them about Sunday, please.
Sunday is our big walk for autism and resource fair from 12 to 4 p.m. out at the Mission Plaza in SLO. We'll have different resources, and there's food trucks, the police, the fire will be there. And then at 2:30, we will have a walk where we walk downtown SLO to raise awareness and acceptance for autism. It's going to be a great time. We have a band coming, and Cal Poly Dance Team will be there.
Cal Poly Dance Team.
Oh, yeah. They're performing, and we have an awesome DJ. DJ Bryce will be out there, and so many cool different organizations coming to talk about their resources, like ABA therapy, occupational therapy, or just different things they're selling. We have lots of autistic vendors, so people with autism selling their products. So it should be a great day.
You mentioned all the resources we have. Do we have enough?
You know, it's tough in this area. It's a small area, so I think there's
not
enough.
What could you use more of?
People out there diagnosing autism, really, and therapies. So, you know, we can always use more.
Is that usually from teachers or from therapists? Who's usually on the front line?
For diagnosing?
Yeah.
It has to be someone like a psychologist, psychiatrist, a neurologist, someone like that.
So back in your teaching days, you might have suspicions of someone, but that student would have to be referred to a professional.
Correct. Or in schools, they can, get diagnosed, not diagnosed, but they can get tested and assessed, and they can qualify for special education services. So there's a couple different ways.
Can people sign up in advance for the walk?
Yes, they can right now. If you go onto the website at autismwalk.org. You can sign up right now. And there's tons of awesome families making teams and raising money. We've almost raised about $25,000 so far.
Yay.
So yeah, we're really excited.
All right. So let's talk about the summer camps. This sounds like a big deal.
Yeah. This year we have 2 weeks. It's at Camp Arroyo Grande. And the cool part is we've stretch the age limit, so ages 5 until there's no end. So if you are 50 and you have autism and you want to come to summer camp, come join us.
I could come to summer camp. Could I come?
You can come to summer camp. Come join us. It's a great time. We're also renting out cabins this year for families with who have kids with autism or teens, adults, just to experience camping and a cabin. Because sometimes that's hard to do, to go travel, and it's nerve-wracking maybe with your kid with autism. So if you're a family out there and you want to try a cabin or tent camping, look for Camp Expedition, and we'd love to have you.
You look for Camp Expedition.
That's the name of our summer camp.
So what are they going to do during the day?
So we have art station, science station, a swimming pool, which is great because it's a small group of people, so there's a lot of opportunity for the kids to practice their swimming in a low sensory friendly area, which is great. And then we have a bounce house. We do hikes. Last year we had the SLO Park Rangers come out for a hike. That was fun. We had Mountain Air come out and show us backpacking materials and tents, and it was great. We have Doggy Do Good come out with their service animals, so it's always a fun time at camp.
All right, is there a deadline for signing up
for camp?
Yeah.
The week before, so you have until June 10th to sign up.
Do you provide financial aid?
We do, yeah. We hope to have more scholarships, too, depending on how much money we raise at the Walk for Autism.
So if people can't make it on Sunday, Carly, but they want to donate, do you take donations?
We always take donations on our website, slowautism.org. You can donate all year round. We definitely can use the donations.
Well, so this is your big event, I imagine.
Yes, this is our big event.
So the more people you get on Sunday, the more young people in particular you can help.
Yeah, and we try to keep our camp low budget, too, low cost. Not low budget, low cost for everyone. So it's only $60 a week, which is really cheap for camps around the area.
That's a great deal.
It's great. And the reason why we raise so much money is so that we can keep it so cheap for families, because we want them to have their kids have a camp experience just like everyone else.
So what are the requirements for a young person to participate in this camp? Do they need like a note from their doctor?
No, we don't make anyone get notes or anything like that. We just, you know, trust the families, and we want them to come. And if they feel like their kid has autism and they would benefit from our camp, then we'd love to have them.
Do you find young people coming back year after year?
Yes. Yes, we do. They love
really,
it.
They must really look forward to it.
Definitely.
To be out in their own little world. And
yeah, it's very flexible at our camp, too. They get to be themselves, which is really hard when they're at school trying to fit into a box all day or going to therapies. They just get to be who they are.
I was telling during the break that my partner and others believe that I am a functioning autistic, that I'm somewhere on the spectrum. Would that surprise you? I know we just met.
I mean, like I said, too, you know, if you think you might be, then you probably are. And so.
But I was diagnosed with attention deficit disorder when I was 44. And that was a huge revelation for me because I knew there was something different about me, but I didn't know. And then I went into therapy and a therapist said, I want you to go see this psychiatrist. And they gave me these tests and he said, yeah, I think you have this. And they showed me some videos and I was looking at the people in the video. I'm like, oh, that's me. Mm-hmm. And now I've been learning more about life on the spectrum and I might fit in there, but I'm functioning.
Yeah. And many people are as well, you know, tons and tons.
Because there are degrees.
Yeah, there's degrees. And I think that the cool part about where we are as a society is there's a lot of adults with autism having social media platforms, sharing their life and sharing their experiences. And it's awesome. I think it's great to make sense of their world and why it looks like it does for them.
So if, what do you say to someone when their young person says, oh, so-and-so is autistic? How do you approach somebody like that? How do you treat them?
Like you would treat anyone else, I think, first and foremost.
I mean, but you talk about it. Hey, what's going on here?
I mean, I would, if they want more answers or they want more resources, I'd talk about it. I think the cool thing about our center is we are reaching out to our community, trying to do trainings and trying to do outreach to share more about autism and specifically the neurodivergent affirming model of it, and that it's not this deficit. There's so many wonderful things that come from it and kind of how to work with people who have autism in the workforce, at school, talking to people. We had a really cool event at the SLO airport where we got to go through all the processes of what it is like to be in an airport. Through the ticketing, we got to go on the plane.
Yeah.
And we had all these kids with autism doing it, and the parents were so grateful because it's scary out there sometimes when people aren't used to it and aren't accepting of their kid with autism. So first and foremost, treat them like normal person and then learn more about them.
Because it can all be all so overwhelming.
It is, yes.
We were just in a restaurant the other day, and we just got up and left because the noise level was so high. I'm like, I'm sorry, I have to leave.
Yes, that is very common. And another cool part about our center is that we've been having businesses come to us and say, hey, we want to host sensory-friendly nights, or we want to host these days where you guys can come in and there won't be music. So I think our community is really trying to build that into everyday life.
All right, Carly Spears, one last time, please. What's happening Sunday?
Our annual Walk for Autism and Resource Fair. It's going to be a great day to come out. If you have a kid or you are with autism and you want to get connected to our community, there's going to be so many different vendors, families, people there that you can connect with, get more resources, feel part of the community. We'd love businesses to come support too. If you're on our walk route and you want to pop out while we're walking by and cheer us on, we'd love to have you out there. And we're just really excited to raise awareness and acceptance and raise money for our annual camp.
And if I'm remembering correctly, on Sundays, there's free parking in the parking structure.
I believe so, which is even better.
One more reason. How do I sign up in advance?
You can go to our website and sign up at slowautism.org, or you can come the day of. We'll take sign-ups there, too.
You can come as an individual.
You can come
as a member of a group, members of a family. Going to be an absolutely gorgeous day. Come out and support. Carly, nice to meet you. Keep up the good work. I got about 20 seconds for a final thought.
Thank you for having me. We're really excited to be spreading awareness about autism. And if you want to learn more about us, go to our website. We'd love to come to your business, too.
You miss teaching?
I do, but I love what I do now.
I think you're taking it to a different level.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Off we go. We've got California Headline News and ABC Radio News. Craig updates us with Time Saver Traffic and Weather Together. Then we've got director, producer Jay Silverman, actor Bo Bridges. The movie is Camera. I'm Dave Congleton. Happy Tuesday. All right, Craig, thank you. I'm glad to have you with us this afternoon, particularly during this time slot. Been looking forward to this for the last couple of days. We've been focused on the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival. Kicks off on Thursday, runs all the way until Wednesday. Monday at 3:30 p.m., we invite everyone to show up at the Fremont Theater for a special showing of a brand new movie called Camera, which is also going to feature a Q&A with my guests. I saw the movie last night. I was very impressed by it. Certainly a local angle because much of it was shot right here in Morro Bay. Anyway, why am I babbling? We welcome to the broadcast Jay Silverman. Jay is the producer-director of Camera. He is an award-winning Hollywood writer, producer, and director, founder of Jay Silverman Productions. Jay, welcome to the show. Congratulations on the movie.
Thank you very much. I'm very grateful for you having Bo and myself on.
And we're very pleased to welcome Bo Bridges to this broadcast. He's had a long and distinguished Hollywood career. I didn't know this until this morning, actually dating back to the late 1940s. Name a movie, The Descendants, The Fabulous Baker Boys, The Good German, or even the recent TV miniseries Lessons in Chemistry. Very pleased to have Bo Bridges with us. Bo, good afternoon to you, sir.
Yeah, it's great to be on with you, Dave.
Thank you, sir. So, Jay, let me start with you. How did you get involved with Camera? Because I know that you have a background in photography and you have a daughter, and I have a feeling that those two sparked your interest in Camera.
Well, interestingly enough, my associate, producer Bethany discovered the movie Camera from a writer in Ireland, and the movie was depicting both the youth of a photographer and the inventiveness of and the discovery of having a camera as a device to tell stories. But in this particular story, the child couldn't speak, and the camera became a communication device. So it was really alluring to me because I, as you mentioned, I have three daughters. One of them got her vocal cords damaged at birth. She was a preemie, and the most she could get out at in her youth was a whisper. So the allure for me was both two subject matters that were very close to my heart.
And then, Jay, how did you find Bo Bridges? How did you connect with him on the script?
Well, number one, the fact that I met Bo because he took an interest in the property, the screenplay, was nothing less than a miracle. And Bo displayed a real interest because I think, like myself, Bo saw the heart of the film, which is a connectivity with a young man and the mentoring angle. And that's when Bo and I met, which was about, I don't know, 2 years ago. And Bo really contributed to polishing the movie to the form that it's currently in.
So, Bo, let's hear from you on this, please. What was your reaction when you first read the script for Camera?
Well, I really responded to the story is always the most important thing to me in any project. And it was so well written and conceived. And, you know, it's about important things in life, about redemption and forgiveness. And it has at its real heart and soul the whole idea of family, and not in the traditional sense that you might think, but it's coming together, these two strangers from different generations who are basically lost souls, and they come in contact with each other, find a common ground, and they need each other, and they become really like a family, and then they reach out to the whole community, which becomes an extended family in the end. So it's a really uplifting tale that I think people will enjoy, and there's some humor in it too. It's got some laughs, but it means something, I think, to anyone that watches it.
Jay, the phrases I jotted down in preparing for this, for the, having seen the movie, I wrote down that to me it was about personal loss and reconnecting, not just among people, but among community. Comment on that, please.
Well, I mean, I think it's, especially in the world we're living in right now, people don't think that their voice is important. And I think that here's a young child that doesn't even have a voice, that has an intention with his visual eye to be able to interpret a community that is in struggling, that is challenged, that is, you know, kind of like lost their belief in life.
Yep.
And this little child has an ability to see things that even an adult doesn't even notice. And that, to me, becomes the heart of the story, because ultimately, it doesn't matter what voice you have, you can be heard amongst all the clutter.
But then how did you find your Oscar? How did you find this young boy who does a remarkable job, Jay?
Well, our casting agent, who was miraculous on this, called out to multiple children during the pandemic. I think there was over 600 kids that responded digitally, that's through Zoom, to cast. And we were lucky enough to find Miguel, who is just, you know, a crown jewel of the movie, because I think, as I'm sure you noticed, to play a role without saying one word is quite an accomplishment.
Well, but what I was thinking about, Bob, is that particularly in one of the early scenes when you first connect with the young boy, that scene must go on 8-10 minutes. And as Jay has explained, the boy doesn't say any word and you're speaking the whole time. So I'm curious about how that works from an actor point of view. Obviously, the young boy is doing his thing, but you've got to carry it with your dialogue. What was that like for you?
Well, you know, I have 5 kids myself and 6 grandchildren, all around Miguel's age, and I really enjoy being around young people. Because what we do as actors is, hey, I mean, that's really the true, you know, the true place where we do our job is playtime. And so when you're in there with a young person, that's what it is. So I messed around a lot with Miguel. I teased him. I joked with him. I used to say to him that he had the easy thing because he had no lines that he had to memorize. And we had just a lot of fun together. And it takes sort of the pressure and the seriousness of and the pressure involved in trying to act within the time frame. You know, especially on an independent movie, you don't have time to really mess up, and so the bar is sort of high. And when you have fun, it makes it a lot easier. And this job was a lot of fun. And I think the location itself of Morro Bay was a real character in the story. It's so beautiful, and Jay really captured it well with his cameraman. And because Jay has a whole history of images in his experience as a still photographer, he brought that to bear on the tale. And as they say, an image is worth 1,000 words.
Yep.
That's what happens in this story.
And I certainly saw that in the movie. So, Jay, how did Morro Bay become the lucky winner to be the host for camera?
You know, it's a very in a very quick story. I went to Canada. I went to Europe. I was looking for the most spectacular location, and little did I know, right here in my own backyard. Even as much as I know, I'm on the radio with the vicinity in Morro Bay. I have to say, you know, most people, including a lot of crew people, didn't even know Morro Bay existed. So it's a pretty extraordinary thing to actually find myself in the backyard of Hollywood and capitalizing on it, versus I went to Nova Scotia to scout, I went to Boston, because finding a fishing village is no easy task, especially when it has to be, you know, in proximity to where all of our stars are or all the people in the cast, because it's an independent film. It's not like we're making Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Well, but just do us a favor, Jay. Don't broadcast Morro Bay too much, okay?
Can I just tell you one story?
Sure, please.
And I think it's entertaining. Can you, Bo, when we were meeting each other, we met each other on a Zoom call, and once we established a rapport and we were engaged, I introduced him to the young man, Miguel, who plays Oscar in the movie. Maybe you could pick it up, Joe, pick it up in relationship to the introduction of Jasper Rock.
I was in Kauai, where I live part of the time, and I was at this place that has a lot of minerals and rocks and beautiful objects like that. Saw these little stones that were called Jasper rocks, and in our story, the term Jasper is, you know, that's where the village is, and I thought, oh, this is cool. I'm going to buy one of these rocks to give Miguel and one to give to Jay. And when I was there, it's really a beautiful stone, kind of reddish in color, and it has a lot of attributes that are described, giving people power and peace of mind. And so I gave them each a stone, and then when I was telling Jay about all the attributes that the stone has, he said, oh, that's really cool. Let's try to work that into the movie. So you know that scene where I'm showing the Jasper rock?
Yeah, yeah.
That all came out of that discovery.
Huh. We should point out that in the, even though it's Morro Bay, it's not Morro Bay in the script.
Yeah, it's Jasper, a fictitious
Jasper Cove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were saying.
No, I was just trying to. I think another exciting part of the movie, which I think is not giving away the film, but you know, most of the movie was filmed in on the back lot in Los Angeles in a place called Santa Clarita. And interestingly, magical is the fact that it's the same mountain range that exists around Morro Bay. So the authenticity aspect really was super remarkable that we were able to utilize a small little western town and turn it into a fishing village that actually, in its final conclusion, looks like it's part of Jasper, which is in real life Morro Bay.
If you're just joining us, we are in conversation with actor Bo Bridges and producer-director Jay Silverman. The brand new movie is called Camera. It is part of the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival. It is going to be screening Monday at 3:30 p.m. at the Fremont Theater. Come on by and say hi, Jay. You and Bo are both going to be there, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's correct.
I look forward to it. It was a joyful experience making this movie. The cast and crew were wonderful. Bruce Davidson, Academy Award nominee, is in the film. My Ezekiel plays the part of Connor. He's in it. It was a real joyful experience, and I think we're into telling of the story.
So let me broaden the question then, and Jay, I'll start with you. Why should people come to a film festival? Why should they attend these screenings of your movie and the other movies that are playing?
It's a great question, because every time I've had, this is my fourth film, and every time I've made a movie, the one thing I do tell the audience directly and unequivocally is, without their support, you know, independent filmmakers don't have an audience. And, you know, films become hits from film festivals. There is no filmmaker that hasn't started in some form or another making independent movies. And it's, to me, you know, one of the things that you don't see much of when now everything is streaming. So it, to me, the real reward goes to the audience that attends these film festivals, because they see things that, you know, normally aren't available on on the streaming services.
Yeah, Bo, what would you say? Why should people come see these screenings at a film festival?
Well, they should especially come because it's in San Luis Obispo,
yeah,
which is a fantastic town and area to explore. I was just there last week visiting the wineries and having just a great time. It's a wonderful place. And so to have that and also a whole bunch of really interesting movies is a unique experience. I think it'll be fun for whoever goes there.
Jay, I was struck by, well, I was struck by a lot, but one of the things I was struck by, you went back to The Rock in the movie a lot. I mean, you got Miguel there all the time. And I was wondering if, as I was watching the movie, was that meant to be something about Miguel using The Rock as a rock in his personal life? Or were you just drawn to it because of the visual choices it offered? Am I reading too much into it?
No, I think it's both. I think it's both. Number one, I mean, I think Morro Rock is an extraordinary piece of natural beauty that I think most people don't even know about, and I thought it was extraordinary. Number two, our young Oscar is new to the village, and I think the only thing that grounds him is his ability to be able to find that kind of almost nautical location that he keeps coming back to. And number three, it gave me an opportunity to visit Morro Bay probably a half dozen times.
Yeah. How long was the production?
Well, the production entirely in an independent film is typically less than 4 weeks, and that was the same thing in our movie. We only spent a week in Morro Bay, and the rest of the movie was made in Los Angeles.
Yeah. So, Bo, circling back, please, when you were first approached by Jay, I mean, you have worked in so many movies, you've worked with so many different directors. What were you looking for from Jay, and what were your expectations of a director when you come on to a movie?
Well, I told Jay, I'm sure in our first conversations, I said to him what I'd say to most directors that I work with, which is that I wanted to help him realize his vision. That's how I see myself as an actor. It's not my vision. I'm, paint in his hands. And so I wanted to make sure that I understood what he wanted to accomplish with his story, and I wanted to help him do that. That's pretty much what I probably said to you, don't you think, Jay?
I think so. I mean, I think it's super important, Dave, to understand that, you know, actors that, especially somebody at Bo's level, that wants to get involved in a project is in love with the story. And as a filmmaker, you know, my entire desire is to be true to the story and make the experience not just sensational for everybody on the set, but to make it authentic. And what Bo provided me, which after making four films I can say unequivocally, is a very unique level of commitment that was off the charts. I mean, I think pretty much everybody that enjoys this film gives the most kudos to the relationship with Oscar and Eric, the character that Bo plays, because Bo commands a performance that I think is, you know, one of the best in his entire career. So for him to give me an opportunity to direct him and for him to condone this project was a huge compliment.
Yeah. So then, Jay, what happens to camera now after Monday? What happens with an independent film once you've got it done?
This film is going to be released July 17th in the United States and Canada, will be on multiple platforms, including Amazon and so forth, and will be released later in the year in Europe. So we're very excited. Yeah. International.
Yeah. Bo, allow me the question, please, because I've been a fan of yours for years, but here you talked about your children and your grandchildren, and you're a certain age. Why aren't you just out enjoying retirement? Why do you still keep slugging along?
Because I really love what I do. I think, telling, being part of the storytelling community is a blessing, and I just really love what I do. That's really the truth of it, I think.
Yeah, once in the blood, it's probably hard to get out of. Jay, is there a website for people to find out more about Camera and watch a clip or a featurette?
Yeah, it's very simple. Just go to my name, jaysilverman.com.
And everything you need to know is going to be there. All right, as my guests prepare a final thought, I will remind you one last time that you can come see the movie Camera as part of the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival. Jay Silverman and Bo Bridges will both be at the Fremont Theater this Monday at 3:30 for a Q&A. Watch the movie. Have a chance to meet Jay and Bo and talk movies. Our thanks to Bo Bridges and Jay Silverman. Jay, final thoughts, sir?
You know what? Nothing would please me more than to welcome the great people of your community, because we were lucky enough to screen the movie at the Bay Theaters and sold out two performances to a magnificent group of loyal customers, and I have to say, I couldn't have been more pleased with the response. So thank you so much for your time, Dave.
Yeah, our pleasure. Bo, final thoughts, sir?
Yeah, no, I echo that, Dave. It's been great talking to you. It's been fun, and hopefully I'll get a chance to see you.
I sure hope so. That'd be my pleasure. All right, gentlemen, have a safe trip to San Luis Obispo, and welcome to the film festival. You're listening to Hometown Radio. Our thanks again to Jay Silverman and Bo Bridges. The movie is Camera. Go see it at the Fremont Theater at 3:30 on Monday. Off we go. News, traffic, weather. Here comes the 4 o'clock hour. I'm Dave Congleton. We're only getting started. Stay with us.
The 920 KBEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kbec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111-911.